Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'll be talking about a couple of weeks because this one week was really a small week, and I've been very late in recording these. So I wanted to talk about a couple of things. I was listening to a podcast. I can't remember if it was the Valiant Collectors or Collecting Valiant, which is a new podcast that focuses on collecting, or if it was a Valiant Central, I think it was Valiant Central that said this, that Exo Man of War used six figures to market Exo number one. Man, that's a lot of money to market based on what I think they're gonna make. I think that's super risky, even with those metallic covers. And I know for a fact, there's one guy at my local comic shop. Like, I don't get my Valiant there. I get it through DCBS with the 50% discount, and most of the trades and hardcovers are 50% discount, so that's where I go to get them. But he asked my shop, he knows that I'm a Valiant collector, that I have every single Valiant, and he asked me a couple things, and I reached out to Justin to find out, like, roughly what this metallic cover would be. But he asked our retailer to contact Valiant. Actually, they contacted him because he circled that he wanted a metallic cover. And they said, well, you have to order 500 of these. And, they did the math and all that and found out what the cover would cost. And it was, like, ridiculous. And the guy said, no, don't do this. But they also said that they would have some kind of reimbursement if he didn't sell the 500 copies. And I talked to the retailer, and 500 copies, he said, you know what? I mean, we talked in real, it was like a round table, and there's three guys that kind of work there for credit. They don't actually work there for money or anything, but they help him out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and it was, we're just talking some Valiant, and he said, you know what? I could push and push this book. Like, he even knows bases this on, like, the 25-cent image books and all this other stuff. And he said, you know what? Nobody's interested here in Exo Man of War. So, like, I would sell the one copy and then the metallic cover for sure, and then maybe some of the variants to Tom, and that would, cover some of it. But and I could make my money back, but then I'd be stuck with 400. The most I would sell is five, and that leaves me 495 copies that I have to store for X amount of time before I could send them back for some of the refund and then pay for the shipping of that. But, like, if there's a lot of stores that do this and then send books back for refund, plus if they had 600, I mean, 100K in marketing this thing, like, I heard six figures, maybe I heard wrong. Man, I don't know how they're going to turn a profit on this. The other trend that I'm noticing is really weird. And it's usually, like, I hate to say this, but you see this kind of trend with, like, cross-gen and the companies that have gone under. Acclaim is they start putting out one shots and they start doing minis, and I don't know historically what that is in today's market. I can just compare it to what I saw with CrossGen and what I saw with Acclaim and what I saw with Triumphant and all the other publishers, but it usually is not a good sign. It could be an okay sign because the market that we're in today is different than the market was back then. But it's usually a not a good sign. So yeah, it was an interesting conversation. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about is I had watched the Image, what was it called? Image Revolution or something like that. It's available on Amazon Prime, and it's free part of your membership. And it's a great documentary about Image, but what it got me stoked about is trying to complete my image books. So like a couple years ago, I worked on completing my Savage Dragon, and there was like two issues that I had like a hard time finding. I couldn't find anywhere. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I think it was Andrew Shaw in Australia got me one copy of the Savage Dragon I needed. But I completed my Savage Dragon, and that was always my favorite of, the founding fathers of Image, and then probably Spawn next to that. And then after that, it was Youngblood. So like so Spawn, I still have to like I have like 1 through 60, and then like from 125 through, I came in and out of Spawn, and I've been collecting it ever since that I got hardcore, I think since I started DCBS. So I have a lot of it, but I have to complete it, and some of those are hard to find, so it's going to be a challenge to complete my Spawn run. But I wanted to complete my Liefeld run, Extreme Studios. So there was a couple I was missing. From volume one, I was missing number five, and really I wasn't missing it. It just was showing missing in my database, and here's why. And this happened to me with the Malibu comics. During this time frame, Malibu and Image and a couple of others, they were doing flip books. So if you flip it, this is Brigade number 4. So when I stored this book, I stored it under Brigade number 4. I recorded under Brigade number 4. But Youngblood number 5 is on the flip end of it. And they did this with like Nightman or one of those series in the Ultraverse. And also I said, "Why the hell am I missing this?" But I went and got it anyway. So now I can file one under Youngblood, and I could file one under Brigade. But I was missing that one issue from the first volume. From the second volume, I was missing six, seven, eight, nine, 10, and 14. And I was able to complete that Youngblood run. So that completes that. And then there's a time in the original first volume where it just jumped to issue like 75 or something like that. And I think I have all those, I just haven't read them. So I'm not going to buy those until I can find them in the closet upstairs. But I think I'm going to have a complete run of Youngblood. And then the other one that I got was, I missed it. It's only a two-issue run from Awesome Comics. So the Liefeld stuff went from Image Extreme Studios, and then during that time, he was like having an artist affair with other people. He was reaching out to Top Cow Studios and other studios to grab their and steal their artists, and that formed a really bad bond amongst the Image founders. So, and then the other thing he did that instigated him getting kicked out. Or he never really got officially kicked out. He was going to get kicked out, and he quit before he could get kicked out. But the other thing he did, and I don't know why he did this, it didn't explain this in the documentary either, is he had Extreme Studios, and then he formed Maximum Studios. And I don't know why he did that. So a lot of books went over to Maximum, and then he had Alan Moore. He had some good writers. He had some good talent. And then after that came Awesome Entertainment, and this is where this volume came from. It was only two issues, but I read the first one. It's pretty amazing. It was Alan Moore, and I think his name is Scott Scroce. I'm going to be talking about this one in Geek Brunch Retro. I think it was a lot of fun. So that's my Youngblood experience. And then on a side note, I completed all my Cyberforce and Stormwatch. So I have every single volume of Stormwatch, except I may be missing some Stormwatch PhD. But I don't want to I don't want to go down that path because I may have those upstairs. So, and if you guys don't understand, I have a closet of one closet of uninventoried comics. Everything else in my collection is inventoried, but I don't want to buy certain things because I know the time period that's in that closet. And at some point, if I had a week off or something, I would love to go through there and inventory everything, but I haven't had the opportunity to do it. So that's where that is. And now we'll get into Mike M's weekly reads. So last time I recorded, I talked about like my top book being Briggs Land and a couple of the DC books. Well, for some reason in September, and this is an odd week, I don't know if there was a convention. I'm thinking there was, but I don't. I'm too lazy to go look up these dates to find out why I read so little. But I only read 5 books that week. It was September 12th through September 18th of 2016. And again, the ratings are 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, I did not like it. 1, I hated it. It's the Netflix ratings. So, starting at the bottom, we had 3 out of 5s, and there were 3 3 out of 5s. So, we had Green Lantern's number 6, and this is when Jessica made her first construct. They think they defeated the Red Lanterns, but did not because their goal was achieved. Raimi, the Rogue Guardian, shows up. Shows them the Phantom Ring, so that's the beginning of when the book started to morph with the Phantom Ring, and that's when I think it started to get really interesting. The initial issues with the Red Lanterns was very weak compared to what had came prior to with the Red Lanterns. Like Charles Soule did a lot of Red Lantern stuff, and it was pretty amazing. Did the pressure cooker work now, or is it pressuring? So that's what the Green Lanterns number 6 is, a 3 out of 5. Red Hood and the Outlaws. We had, this was Artemis on the train protecting the Bow of Ra, which is still part of the story arc. This is a monthly, and Red Hood is fighting the Black Mask, who's really after the clone of Superman, and that's how Bizarro comes into the story. This is, I rated this really low, a 3 out of 5, but amazingly, this book has become a 5 out of 5 for me, and it could be my favorite Bat book next to Detective. It's going back and forth. Another 3 out of 5 that week was Suicide Squad number 2 with Jim Lee artwork, and this was when they infiltrated a Russian base underwater. There was a new player introduced that was with Waller. That character, and I forget her name, she's still in the current story arc. And I don't want to spoil where they are now, but she is involved in a major player in the major story arc. This is when Boomerang, we thought, killed General Zod, but he didn't. It had the backstory of Boomerang's childhood and evolution. So that was Suicide Squad number 2 on Rebirth. And then on 5 out of 5, we had Imperium number 15. Imperium for me has always been a 5 out of 5, but this is where Livewire and Hardcore attack a ship with allies of Harada. They use dampeners on them. And then Harada returns. Charlie blows up the ship. So that's, man, that book was good. Now that I'm recalling when it was. I mean, it was a long time ago, but it's so good. And then a 5 out of 5 was Detective 940. This was a book that luckily I wasn't spoiled on, but it was the death of Tim Drake. And Jacob Kane was arrested, which is, he was the co running the colony. And they had put all these drones after to kill various people within Gotham, and what Tim did was he turned them all on himself. He made an ultimate sacrifice, but before he died, he was plucked out of that stream and put with Ozymandias. I can never pronounce that damn name, but I'll just say Mr. Oz because that's what they call him in the book. So that was that week. It was a really small week. There were four DC, one Valiant. And then I have one other week to talk about since it was such a small week. We have. I didn't even total these, but I'll total them live. 21, 22. There's a total of 22 that week, so it was another small week. And I'll start at the bottom. We had three Valiant, eight Marvel, 10 DC, and one Aftershock. Going from the bottom, we had Harlequin number four. This is when they go after a call center, and there's the aftermath of the hot dogs that had alien DNA on them. And this was a pretty tame issue. Harlequin has been really enjoyable though for me overall, and I think as the arcs went on after that first arc, I started to really like it. So that was a 3 out of 5. So I enjoyed it, but I didn't really like it. We have Iron Man number 73. This is the first volume, obviously, because the number's so high. I was working on completing Iron Man. I think I have almost like Iron Man 1 through 100, almost continuously. And this is versus Crimson Dynamo in the Philippines. You show us his costume works to Pepper Potts, who is now married to Happy Hogan. And on the cover, and during this time period, it was weird because they would draw in a nose in the armor. It was really weird. And it didn't look like a metallic or indention of the nose that would be like an armor. It actually looked like a nose. So that was a 3 out of 5. And then we had I was reading Angela's Asgard Assassin. I think during this time we were on a trip too, and I was reading these digitally because I had loaded them into my iPad because I had the little I bought the books and then I had loaded the digital codes before I went on the trip. And this series just never really hit it off with me. Like, it had some elements that could really grab me, but overall it just never struck me as a great run. Then we jump into the 4 out of 5s. We have Batman number 7. This is where this is the monsters well, the name is escaping me. They had a crossover that wasn't Tom King, and it was man, it's the Monster Men, essentially the Return of the Monster Men, and this was a baby monster was released in Gotham, and the Bat Family had to work together to defeat it. This series was by Steve Orlando. Overall, what I heard about the series is some people thought it was all right, but they thought it wasn't a good like event story. I was pretty neutral on it. I think it had its highs and its lows. I think overall I enjoyed it. Like this one, I gave it a very good. I really enjoyed it. So that was at the bottom of the 4 out of 5s, and then the next one was Nightwing number 5. This was a Monster Men attacking Gotham, and Nightwing tries to go after Hugo Strange while the other members of the team are fighting the monsters. We have Justice League number 5. This is when they work to defeat the Kindred, and it was the conclusion of the first arc. We had Green Arrow number 7, which is Emiko defeats Obi-Ban and saves her mom. We had Alters number 1 from Aftershock. This was a new transgender superhero from I said Black Mask, but it's not Black Mask. It's Aftershock, so I don't know what I was saying there. We had Green Lanterns number 7. This is Jessica and Baz baking cookies together for the mother, so it had like a bonding issue where I think he was missing something in the recipe. And then the Dominators attack. These Dominators were not like classic Dominators. They were almost made like a joke, which is really weird because they're very smart and very militaristic. And then it had Raimi the Guardian. We had Werewolf by Night number 32, I read, which I do own. I own most of Werewolf by Night. In other words, I'm missing like six issues. I got all the key issues, including Werewolf by Night's first appearance, which wasn't in his own title. But this is the first appearance of Moon Knight. It's a big deal. It's probably the highest priced Werewolf by Night there is, and that includes one and his first appearance. So we had Suicide Squad Most Wanted number 2. This was the El Diablo Boomerang. Checkmate defeats Parasite and goes in the desert with Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam and El Diablo were actually working for Checkmate. What else happened in this? Boomerang was working with kids to defeat El Jaguar. Cyborg number 1. This is where Sarah takes Vic on a date to see Blue. This was a really cool issue. It was a jazz improvisation jazz, and it had Kilgory, which is a Flash villain. At least that's what I remember him from. Raven number 1. This one started way better than it finished. I think it went from a 4 out of 5 for me to a 3 out of 5 by the time it finished. A strong beginning, though. It was setting up Raven to live with her aunt in a high school, and had some great thought captions during that issue. We had Superman number 7, which is a day in the life at a carnival with Jonathan and Lois. This was a great issue. And then finally, that finishes off the 4 out of 5s was Aquaman number 7. They're back in Atlantis, and Aquaman works to discover who is plotting against Atlantis. And then this is where Manta launched an attack with a monster against Atlantis. So we then go to the 5 out of 5s, and again we have Imperium. So I obviously marked this wrong because it can't be Imperium number 1. It's Imperium number 16. And this is where the team withdraws, and it had a open-ended ending. And I felt like, where is the conclusion? It's almost like this series was badass, and then it like even this particular issue started badass, and then you're kind of just scratching your head. But it still was awesome. But it felt like they were told to wrap up. And I know it could be for two reasons. One reason is the sales were tanking. It was low. It was in the 3,000s, and that usually is a valid indicator, like we need to stop this. And then the other reason is that Joshua Dysart was going on a mission. He goes on to these missions where he helps other countries and stuff like that, and that's what he was going to do. Another 5 out of 5. This one was 5 out of 5 for me, but a lot of people don't care for it as much. But it was the Archer and Armstrong number 3 and 4, which was the conclusion to the Bacchus and the Satchel. I really enjoyed this arc, and I felt like it took a lot of the weirdness that Fred Van Lente put out there, and it did a good job of reintroducing it, put a little bit of a twist to make it a little more lighthearted, but there was some dark elements to it, and it really worked for me. At another 5 out of 5, and this is another series that definitely was stronger at the beginning and than when it ended up. Was Trinity number 1, and this is where Lois invites Batman and Wonder Woman over for dinner without telling Clark, just to form bonding, because this Lois knows that there was another Lois and there was another Superman on this earth, and she wants to establish the bonds that were there for her husband with the old with the new Batman and the new Wonder Woman that she had on this other earth. Really fantastic story. So there were 3 5 out of 5s, and that's all I have for today. If you want to reach me, you can reach me on the Twitters at Mike Myers Brunch, or send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. This is released on geekbrunchpodcast.com. I also do a lot of podcasts on DCNoisePodcast.com, and I'm also part of Gotham by Geeks. So be sure to check those out. And thanks for listening. If you get a chance under Geek Brunch and you're hooked up to iTunes, I would really appreciate it if you left an iTunes review. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.